Chapter 5, Homeland Security. 6 years before Major General Albert Stubblebine III failed to walk through his office wall in Arlington, Virginia, his office didn't exist. There was no INSCOM, the U.S. Army Intelligence and Security Command. There were just military intelligence units scattered haphazardly around the world. It was, according to the author Richard Koster, who served with the 470th Counterintelligence Corps detachment in Panama during the pre-Stubblebine days, chaos. In the late 1950s, Koster told me when I phoned him to ask about life in military intelligence before Stubblebine, there were frantic calls from commander to commander. We need to greatly expand military intelligence. We want you to release X number of officers. We need a colonel, 3 majors, 6 captains, and 15 lieutenants to be immediately reassigned to military intelligence. So what do you do if you get a call like that? You think, ha, let's give them all our bindle stiffs and stumble bums. So they did. And that's who went to Army intelligence, more or less globally. What was it like in Panama before General Stubblebine? I asked him. This was not a tight ship, he said. We had a riot 1 year here in Panama City. My colonel came running up to me. Where is this riot? I said, it's right in front of the Legislative Palace. He said, where's that? I said, go to the Tivoli Hotel. You'll see it out the balcony. He looked at me like I was Einstein, because I had this knowledge. In the late 1970s, a brigadier general called William Royla was given the job of tidying the whole mess up. He was to form a kind of CIA for the Army. It would be called INSCOM. And in 1981, General Stubblebine, who had been deeply moved by Jim Channon's First Earth Battalion Operations Manual, and was filled with the conviction that America, the great superpower, needed to be defended by people who actually had superpowers, was appointed its commander. Stubblebine was a West Point man, with a master's degree in chemical engineering from Columbia. He learned about the 1st Earth Battalion when he was stationed at the Army's Intelligence School in Arizona. It was his friend and subordinate, Colonel John Alexander, the inventor of sticky foam, who first drew his attention to it.